All right, we are live for the Wednesday edition of the Morning Check-In. And as always, excited to be back, looking forward to connecting. And as always, trying to put together the pieces of the puzzle to give everybody a much more broader macro viewpoint on where things are heading in the monetary system. And as always, I like to stay on top of events that are not being talked about in the mainstream media. And so, of course, there's a lot of distractions right now. We know what the primary monetary financial distraction is. It happens to be the ETFs and all those things that really entice people to, speculate and gamble. While underneath the surface, it looks like the monetary powers that be are continually building away, and a potential time frame for when everything will be fully revealed lies within the next 12 to 24 months. And so I'm going to talk about the latest developments on the new global banking system that is being ironed out right now. And, you know, quietly but kept, the signatures, some of the signatures that have changed the monetary game over the last 100 years. And it's unfortunate that all it takes is an individual within the Oval Office to sign a piece of legislation to begin the process of rebranding currency. And it's already been done. And a lot of people are not aware of it or talking about it. So that's one thing that Rethinking the Dollar has been geared towards, is to try to wake people up and realize that all dollars are not created equal, and things have already shifted. So we're going to talk about that and a lot more. I hope everyone is doing well. Let me check in and make sure everything is flowing smoothly on my end. Definitely would hate to be talking to myself and not have any audio like the last time. But for those that are plugged in, man, give it a second. See if anything registered. Let me know if the audio is coming in clear. And while you're at it, make sure you guys support the channel if you don't mind. Simply hit the thumbs up button, show your support for the channel, as well as make sure you click that bell notification so that you are able to plug in when we do go live. That's the most important thing, being able to connect in real time with the community and share my two cents on things. And as always, there's more than enough subjects to cover. Unfortunately, I can't cover them all, but I will cover what I think deserves our attention, which more than likely you won't hear from many other sources in the media world. So that's kind of my responsibility or job I've given myself. And give me a second here as I try to maneuver things around on the screen here. If you don't mind, hit that thumbs up, show support for the channels. If you're on YouTube, definitely hit that bell. And if you're on Rumble, make sure you click that notification as well, so you can stay plugged in. And also, I want to encourage everybody to connect with RTD beyond YouTube. Most important one happens to be Telegram. And so on the social media tab beneath this video here, you can find all the platforms where RTD is located. I encourage you to connect with wherever you prefer to connect. And so you'll never miss a show, never miss an episode. And on top of that, things I post beyond YouTube, just because YouTube is, you know, I've been talking about that for a while now, so I'm not going to go down a road. But anyway, hope everyone is off to a good day. Midweek, hump week, hump day. Let's get it going, man. It's going to be an interesting day. And I want to dive right into it, man. And I have maybe 10, 12 tabs open, and I'm really going to highlight the rebranding of the monetary structure. You know, CBDCs, the infrastructure has already been set up. Now it's a matter of needing that systemic event to really bring it about. And even though, you know, Jerome Powell a couple weeks ago gave a testimony saying that he can't do anything without congressional approval. But then again, when you look in the past, anything that come about as an emergency measure is usually brought about after some type of an event where it's a no-brainer for Congress to rush something through out of sheer panic and just the idea that, you know, they're very reactive, not proactive. So it's always after something unfolds, then the solution is given to us. And so I don't think this CBDC digital rebranding of our currency will be the same way. I don't expect it to be anything different. All it takes is an event to get people's attention, and voila, the signature that has already been signed will then authorize Congress, and they'll get the approval with no problem. So we're going to touch on that and a couple other subjects. Let me keep things moving here, man. Never a dull moment in the in the world of a reset, put it like that. Okay, so as always, man, going to get into some good news coming from the Word of God to pretty much anchor ourselves down to and also build us up and encourage us and strengthen our inner man. Then we'll get into some of the market activity. Then we'll get into events that will impact Wall Street all the way down to Main Street and everything in between, and some of the latest monetary financial news stories worth touching on. So I'm going to do that as fast as I can, as quick as I can, so we can be more efficient with our time together this morning, because I value your time and I want to definitely make the most of it. So let's jump right into it. All right. The good word this morning is on forgiveness. And so as you guys can see here, the promise of forgiveness is the day's word. And it's coming from 1 John 1:19, the New King James Version. And I'm going to give you a little bit of an excerpt of the interpretation of this scripture for you guys to chew on. And let's jump right in. It says, let me move my screen. I got too many things open here. It says here, the promise of forgiveness from March 27. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it says here, at the heart of the gospel message is the promise of forgiveness, a divine assurance that no matter how far we stray, the path back to God is always open through confession. This verse not only speaks to God's willingness to forgive, but also his commitment to purify us, removing the stain of our transgressions and restoring us to righteousness. Confession is the key that unlocks this transformative process. It requires humility and honesty, an acknowledgement of our shortcomings and the earnest desire to turn away from them. In this act of vulnerability, we find God's faithfulness and justice, not to condemn, but to redeem. This promise of forgiveness and cleansing is a beacon of hope. It reassures us that our mistakes and past do not define us. Rather, our identity is shaped by God's unfailing love and mercy. It says, in him, we are given a fresh start, a clean slate. Today, let us embrace this liberating power of confession as we lay our sins before him. May we experience the depth of God's forgiveness and the renewal of his grace. Let this promise encourage us to live lives that reflect his love and righteousness. And the prayer for reflection here is, Heavenly Father, I come before you in confession, grateful for your promise to forgive and cleanse. Thank you for your faithfulness and justice that brings restoration. Help me to walk in the freedom and newness of life that your forgiveness offers. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. That's a good word for this morning, my good people. Hopefully it was a blessing to you, and hopefully it helps you remind you that nothing you've done up to this point is not it is forgivable if you're willing to confess and lay it at his feet and just, you know, repent wholeheartedly, and you can receive that forgiveness and then get a fresh start. And hopefully if you change your ways, you can move forward with a clear conscience and just experience the fullness that comes with a new life in Christ. So, all right, good people, that's the word. Let's get into some of my partners. I got to big up my partners as always, man. I'm very grateful to be able to collaborate with people who are willing to help the community get what they need. And let's jump right in. All right. As always, want to make sure I continue to remind people where to go for their preparedness methodologies. So forpatriots.com/RTD. As you can see on the page here, this is the deals page here, where it gives you a chance to get all the necessities you need to prepare for the unknown. Especially factor in a bridge just went down that pretty much connects all the eastern coasts, supply chains heading inland. And so we got agriculture, we got, you know, every aspect of our life has been disrupted on purpose by the bridge collapsing in Baltimore. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how things head in the spring and summer, come crop planting time, stuff like that. So this is an opportunity, while things are the cheapest they will ever be, to get a hold of whatever you need. So as you can see on the screen here, you got seeds, you got all types of stuff here. And I want to make sure I draw attention to their food supply source here. So we got the 1-year survival food kit. Good opportunity for you to get some stuff, have it on reserves for yourself. They got the 1-year, 6-month, 1-month. They even got the weekend packs, 72-hour packs. So there's no excuse not to make sure you're prepared for whatever comes your way. And definitely getting your calorie game up is crucial. And also the solar generator. Everybody by now, I'm sure, has one. But then again, you never know who might be new. Go get yourself a Patriot Power Supply generator here and make sure you got some backup energy just in case the lights go out, the grid go down, cyber event, who knows. But you'll be covered and be able to protect yourself and your family. So forpatriots.com/RTD, links in the bio. Take advantage of it, people. All right, next thing here, I'm very proud to partner with, you know, colonialmetalgroups.com. So this is a way for my people who are still in the legacy system to get physical in the form of getting precious metals directly. You can buy from them directly, or you can consult one of their experts there to get yourself transferred over. You can roll over your IRA, your 401k, whatever, into a self-directed and self-held IRA, taking possession of your metals. And so if you're interested in finding out more, fill out this form here on the page here. You'll speak to an expert and they will give you the rundown on how the situation can help you if it's something you are looking for. And so this page here basically offers information as to how we've collaborated and how you can find out more about Colonials Metal Group, get some testimonies, you name it. And it's a good opportunity to find out more about Colonials Metals Group. And so there's a number as well, 1-888-521-2448. Call them and speak with an expert on how to take possession of what is yours while you still can. And especially what we're about to get into now with this whole digital transformation, there will come a day where everybody will wish they were able to hold on to what they think is there. So ColonialsMetalsGroup.com/RTD. Links in the description. Go check them out. And also you get a chance to download this book here. That is just to give you more things to think about. And I really appreciate the opportunity to prepare in advance. That's all this is about. And then last here, I want to encourage people, the dollar IQ, test your dollar IQ. Most people don't know how to appreciate what they have because they don't know the process and the journey it's gone through. And when you realize that even though paper is coming down the home stretch as far as it being useful and wanted, it still serves a value. But then again, with this digital transition taking place now, they've already set up everything needed to basically position us for this rebranding of our currency. And so the goal is to get people who are not in tune to test themselves to see that there are some gaps in their knowledge base and then be able to take action accordingly. And it ultimately leads to real tangible wealth. And so this is a quick 10 question quiz here. It's a way for people to test themselves. And so it's real simple. Enter your name, take the quiz. And then if you want to come join the community, share your score here and dive deeper, get more knowledge, get more books. And then you'll be better off than the other 99.99% of people who don't know. So rethinkingthedollar.com/quiz, link in the description, text yourself, see where you stand. And if you find it to be a blessing to you, pass it forward. All right. There we go, people. That's all she wrote right there. So real quick, let's get into some market activity. I want to share and see what's happening in, with some figures. Not that it really matters in the short term, but then again, it's always good to find out where we stand and what's happening. So let's jump right in. I have a lot of interesting news articles I want to get to today, so I got to be quick with things. So as we can see, as of right now, let me refresh this page so we can make sure everything's up to snuff. We got gold, 2190, silver, 2456, platinum, 891, and palladium is 952, rhodium, $4,300. So yeah, real monetary mediums of exchange and stores of value on the screen here. Good thing is, they're cheap as they're going to be, given all the things that might lie ahead in our future. So, yeah, you never go wrong and get in now. All right, let's check the digital asset space, where the world seems to be driving us to with tokenization, everything in between. So here you got all types of projects here. What stands out to me, just looking real quick, we got the meme coins, like whatever this is. Like this is, you know, the Pepe coin. You know, it's like, Pepe, what in the world is this, a frog? And it's not doing good right now. But it's like stuff like this, man, makes you wonder. These are purely speculative gambling opportunities for those who speculate. If you're a strategic speculator, then I'm sure you're being rewarded for all of this. And so BCH is something I'm paying attention to because they will be up next for the ETF side. So smart money gets in early, ride the wave up, and then get out up top. All right. What else we got here? Just check some of the legacy stuff. Bitcoin is 69,000. Ethereum, 3,500. And Solana is 184. XRP, connecting the entire world CBDC system, is 61 cent. And everything in between, man. It's never a dull moment of opportunity out there for those who speculate. And then lastly, let's take a look at the stonks. Let me get the stonk game up. Let me see what the stonk game looking like. So here we got in the stonk game. Apple's doing good. NVIDIA's down. Never worry. They'll be back up with some more hype out there. And what else we got here? The bank sector right now. You can't see it because I'm right in front of it. But the bank sector is in the green. JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citigroup, they're all doing good this morning. Financial services is a little bit of mix there. What else we got here? Communications. We got Google, Meta. They're all in the semi-green red right now. But never a dull moment. Inflate the legacy assets and I'll see where it takes us. So, all right. Where is this heading today? So I started off talking about 12 to 24 month time frame. That it has been put out by the SWIFT. So SWIFT, which is the messaging service that for the most part connects all the banking sector together. They are building a way on top of all the other nations that are building a way. And what they're building is basically the interoperability of CBDCs. And so every single country on this planet has preparing and working on rolling out their CBDC. So far we have, I think, three countries that already have them operational and in use at a very slow level, but then again, give it time. the fact that they've already introduced it lets us know that it's a part of their plans. Now it's just a matter of how long before it catches on and people are forced down that pathway of basically giving in and doing what they have already wanted us to do all along. And so what I want to get into today is how all it takes is one simple signature to completely reshift and rebrand the financial system and the economy in and of itself. And it started way back in the day with FDR, with Executive Order 6102, which took gold out of use as a savings mechanism as well as a currency. And it basically brought it back into the government's coffers. And then here we are now, 100 years later. Most people don't know what gold is as a monetary source, or neither do they have any, not even the smallest gold apart from what they wear around their neck on their finger, because people basically forgot what money is. And that's where this whole rethinking the dollar concept, this is where things are really starting to peak for me as far as trying to really put everything together so I can say that, hey, I laid it out on the line. People who grabbed a hold of it, they ran with it, they were blessed with it, so forth. Okay, so what does all this mean? Let me just get some pages out the way here. So I put this together in 2017. This is just basically based upon at that time, which was 4 or 5 years of my studying, trying to really understand the monetary structure. So I call this is what I call a complete dollarcation process. And I call this my monetary literacy cheat sheet. All the way from 1792, it covers every coinage act, all the primary executive orders. And right now I'm in the process of updating this so that I can make this a complete monetary rebranding cheat sheet up until the year 2030, which I believe by that time, everybody will know, won't be surprised, we'll be in a completely different monetary system. But if you guys are wanting to find out more about this, I put the dollarcation link beneath this video here where you can go download this and get a peek at the cheat sheet so you'll be more in tune than the other 99.99%. And the reason is I'm updating this because right over here, I got to put some recent executive orders. So it's in need of a rebranding, refreshing. But it lays out the bricks and everything in between way, way back in the day before anybody was talking about it. And so anyway, but what am I getting at? Let's go back in time real quick. Just 2 years ago, people underestimated and didn't really pay attention to the signature that took place in what I call the last stand of the current monetary structure. And the moment that signature was signed, that gave the permission for the powers that be to go out and begin research and development for something that's already prime and ready to go. They just lack one thing, a systemic event. And so Biden takes big step towards government-backed digital currency. It says the Biden administration is throwing its support behind further study and development of what will be known as a U.S. central bank digital currency. And so people might say, Mike, you know, they don't have congressional approval. The executive order he signed gave the banking structure the permission to go ahead and begin development. It won't become legal tender until after congressional approval and all the things that's needed. But as I mentioned before, every single shift in our country has come from a piece of legislation that was put forth first. And then out of sheer emergency and panic, it got passed with no problem. The best one is the Federal Reserve Act that took place in 1913. It was the second attempt at reinstating the third central bank. At first, it was the Aldrich Bill, which came about in 1911 after the panic of 1909 and 1910. So the banks caused a panic 3 years before the signature was signed for the third central bank, which is the Federal Reserve Bank, to be created. So it was a creation of the plan, the event that caused a crash, and then the bill that was already there was signed 2 or 3 years later. That's how it goes. And most modern time, I'm ranting a little bit, but just kind of let you know how things tend to play out. The most modern event that came after a systemic event was the signing of the mRNA technology by Donald Trump in 2019. I think it was September, by Dr. Fauci. They had him sign for the development of mRNA. 6 months later, an illness hit the country. They already had everything signed out for the pharmacies that already had everything ready to be rolled out. And then what came after that was the mandates and the lockdowns and everything else, basically saying people had to take this or lose their jobs. So it was the solution. It was the problem. It was the initiation of what they wanted, the crises, the solution. Same thing. So just so you can say, just so you can know where we are at on this. We're on the same page. Okay, so 2022, March. We talked about this back then. Once that signature came about, bam, research and development. Okay, so Mike, what does that mean? This is what came about. Another executive order. So executive order 14067. So I got to update this on the monetary cheat sheet because this wasn't about when I created it, but it's simple. Officially titled Ensuring Responsible Development of Digital Assets. So this will go down in history books as the piece of legislation that brought about the advent, which it really wasn't, but that's what history books would tell us, about rebranding the current banking structure, monetary structure, and the primary instrument, which is more computer code, that people will use that's centrally controlled and operated by the money cartel. And it says here, March 9th, 2022 will go down in history. This is just me. And it's the 83rd executive order by Joe Biden. The ultimate aim of the order is to develop digital assets in a responsible manner. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Then it talks about CBDCs. United States developing a CBDC. Okay, bam. Where do we go from here? As of right now, if you take a look at, let me get myself together here. Let me go back, refresh this page here. If you go to Central Bank Digital Currency Tracker, you'll be able to see, they won't let me do it because it's a narrow view. But on this page here, let me go through my filters. Let me go here. So they make this very challenging. So on this page here, which is very difficult, they show every single central bank digital currency that's in development. So as you can see above my head right here, we got the good old United States of America. If I hover over this, you can see right now, when I last looked at this, there were only, I think, three projects listed as under research and development. And this is new. This is newly updated. Last time they updated this was this month. So it's good to say you haven't seen this because I just came across it myself. And nobody really talks about this stuff because everybody's excited about Bitcoin and everything else. But if you hover over United States of America, as you guys can see, hopefully, let me make sure you guys can see it. If you hover over United States of America, I got to make sure I'm doing this correctly. You see what is now five projects that are being worked on right now that are all a part of the research and development that came after Executive Order 14067. So Biden's signature gave approval for these entities right here on the screen to begin developing a central bank digital currency. So if I clicked on each one of these, it can give you nice detailed information about it. So the very first one, digital dollar, I'll click on this so you guys can see what I see. And it says here, U.S. Federal Reserve Bank announcement year. So in 2020, they began working on the digital dollar project, but Biden signed it in 2022. So once again, they already had it ready. They just needed approval to make it legit, and then they're building out. So distributed ledger technology, certain payment uses, a quick speed, whatever, MIT's digital currency initiative, whatever. So each one of these projects have their own little spiel. Project Hamilton, Project Cedar Phase, wholesale digital currency, Project Cedar. So go find out more for yourself. And then if you look around the country, every single country on the planet has their own version of it. Okay. So hopefully you guys, there's five different test beds going on right now. This is real. It's happening. Whatever. They're ready. Okay. What does all this mean? Well, let's go back a week or so. So here we have from March 18th, Federal Reserve declares CBDC is, quote, a key duty to Congress, despite public statements attempting to downplay its focus. So this goes back to the initial discussion I mentioned where I played a clip. Let me see if I still have it. I played a clip. Let me see if I still have it. Give me one second here. Let me see if I still have it in my archives. I might have deleted it. Did I delete it? Nope. Let me see if I still have it. Good. I do not have it. But Senator Loomis from Wyoming was speaking with Jerome Powell, and she just said, for sheer clarification's sake, can you please let the public know that you, without congressional approval, you guys cannot create a central bank digital currency? He said, sure. Without Congress approval, we can't do that. We're not even thinking about that. Okay. So what else is going on here? It says, quote, if you don't think the Fed is pursuing a CBD, think again. Where is this coming from? Okay. And so Tom Emmer, GOP majority, he posted this tweet based upon a handout that was given to Congress beyond their public statements that they gave, basically saying one thing while doing another. And so here's a quick little excerpt. It says, this is according to, it says here, just as it is reassuring that the public, just as it is reassuring to the public that it is not focusing on introducing central bank digital currency in the country, the Fed has only recently been telling Congress that steps leading to a digital dollar are among its seven key duties. It says, this is according to Congressman Tom Emmer, who posted a document on X on March 14th explaining that his office received it as the Federal Reserve representatives were in Congress for a presentation. And so here you have a screenshot of what he received as a part of the Federal Reserve's presentation to Congress people behind the scenes off air. This is what was given. It says, if you don't think the Fed is fair, pursuing a CDC thing again, it says, if the Fed gave this to my staff during a presentation earlier this Congress, they view a CBDC as one of their key duties. So as you can see here on the screen, key duties of the Fed: currency, check collection, ACHH, automated clearinghouse, wholesale payments, Fedwire, fund service, Fedwire services, whatever, security services, fiscal agent of the U.S. government, the FedNow, so Fedwire and FedNow, we talked about that before, central bank digital currency is the very last one on this presentation that was given by the Fed to his office. And then it goes on to talk about, it's been 2 years since the U.S. bank central bank first came out with the white paper looking into this possibility that is also linked to the digital dollar project. We just talked about that a moment ago in research and development. It's my suspicion they're already up and running. So anyway, so people don't need to worry about it, said Powell. This is during his little confession. So here we have a congressman who was given an inside information on what the Fed is working on. It's one of their seven key duties. Okay, what else is this? What else? Why are you talking about all this, Mike? Sweet and simple. Now we have, let me get rid of some tabs here. Give me one second here. For those plugging in, feel free to share thoughts, ideas, suggestions in the chat. This is leading to something. Bear with me. So this is what this is all heading to. Not only have they been working on the consumer side, they've also had the wholesale, which will be the banking side. They got the retail side. They got, and now they're putting forth the actual upgrade of the SWIFT system, which is the old ledger analog system that sends messages ahead of time to banks around the world before the actual currency is diverted to bank accounts, yada, yada, yada. So this is where this is all heading. There's a 12 to 24 month window, according to the latest information provided. And there's been 38 central banks participating. All countries are signing up before this, yada, yada, yada. So this is just letting us know that they have already been building out the infrastructure that they will have as a solution to what comes in the days ahead. And the time frame is what I'm focusing on. They say that this will be ready and everybody locked and loaded by in 12 to 24 months. So that means we got a window of time, possibly, where they try to kick the can down the road, give this fake narrative that the economy is strong, get us through the presidential cycle. Depending on who wins, it'll come down sooner or later. But that gives them that 12 to 24 window that they are in, you know, are hoping to have so that they can iron out all the kinks so that when things are rolled out, it's ready to go. It says SWIFT plans launch of a platform connecting central bank digital currencies with global banking system. What do we have here? It says the SWIFT head of innovation, Nick Kerrigan, revealed that the new platform will be designed to coincide with the launch of the first major CBDCs. Okay. So we have the SWIFT system, which is a European company that's in lock and step with the World Bank and BIS and everything else. He's saying that this new platform is being designed to coincide with the launch of the first major CBDCs. What are the first major CBDCs? The last one to be launched will be the digital dollar representation of the CBDC. But the euro is coming before. The UK British coin is coming before. And, you know, all the other G7 nations, the G6 will come. And then the last one will be the digital dollar system, hands down by far, because they don't want any interruptions or disruptions with the current paradigm as of now. So let me, give me a second. I'm trying to make sure this is visible for everybody to see. All right. So it says here, I'm just going to thumb through this, give you something to chew on, let you know what they've already done, what's coming, and that window of time, which allows you to take advantage of the opportunity to get everything that's in that digital analog world into your possession, whether it be in the physical form or if you speculate, whatever, however you're going to do what you're going to do, it helps you better strategize, in my opinion, because it's definitely helping me. Anyway, so where it says real quick, Reuters reported that the move is expected to be a game changer for the evolving CBDC ecosystem, given SWIFT's crucial role in global banking. Says, quote, this is him, this is the Nick guy. Quote, we are looking at a roadmap to productize or launch as a product in the next 12 to 24 months, Kurgan said in an interview. He said, it's moving out of the experimental stages towards something that is becoming a reality. Around 90% of the world's central banks are exploring digital versions of their currencies while they aim to keep up with the cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. So just put your tinfoil hat on for a second. What is buying the bankers time? What is buying them time and giving them the necessary tools needed to fully implement, prepare, tweak, and improve what they already had planned for us? And to me, it's found in that one statement. Because if you remove this digital distraction, then they wouldn't have the technology. They wouldn't have the time to roll all this out. They were waiting on this particular era of time, the last 10 years, utilizing a digital revolution taking place in the private sector with all the geniuses out there that's built out the system for them. They're simply rolling it into their coffers, tweaking it, improving it. They're definitely making it quantum resistant, as I mentioned a week ago, so that while the legacy, which will be considered legacy, the decentralized digital asset space will be considered legacy. Those are all version ones. They're literally working on version 2.0, which is what they are going to have as a solution for the world. So they're going to make sure it's quantum ready, quantum resistant, so that it doesn't disrupt them, but they don't mind it disrupting the other space because that's a part of the plan, I believe. Anyway, but the statement here, while they aim to keep up with cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, they face technological challenges. You see how they need the time? They need this time. They need the distraction because the world's racing towards the diversion while they're able to build up on the sideline and nobody's really paying attention but your boy and other people focus on the subject matter. Okay, real quick here. It says SWIFT recent six-month trial involving 38 central banks, commercial banks, settlement platforms focused on ensuring that different countries' CBDCs can be used together. So literally, the interoperability, you know, one blockchain is interoperable with all the others. So you got one platform, which would be the SWIFT brand. And this is not even including what the BRICS have and what they're developing. But then again, like I mentioned before, as a part of the ISO was it 202222? If you look at some of the archives, the BRICS system will connect to the SWIFT system because they're all working together towards this digital transition. So don't be fooled. The East versus West, come on now. Anyway, so here you have their focus on ensuring that different countries' CBDCs can be used together. So literally, you plug in all these countries into a central service, whether it be SWIFT, the BRICS payment network, or the LATAM, L-A-T-A-M, which is the Latin American Monetary something or another, which is all South America and Central America. You got the Central American hub, you got the SWIFT hub, you got the BRICS hub. They're all going to be interconnected. And you'll be able to settle trade, send messages, do everything financially, wholesale, retail, central bank-wise, all on a keyboard centered in whoever's ledger all this takes place on. And the ledger will not be open source. It won't be visible to the public. Yeah, anyway. Okay, says the trial also demonstrated that the potential for these digital currencies to be used in complex trade or foreign exchange payments and potentially being automated to speed up and reduce costs. Kerrigan stated that the trial results show that banks could use their existing infrastructure, which was widely regarded as successful. So in order to plug in for the commercial banks at this current moment, it don't take that much of an adoption. More so maybe some software updating and plugging into their system, you'd be ready to go. And this goes into something else I'm about to mention in a minute. the tokenization craze right now, it didn't start in a decentralized space. It's starting to centralize. And HSBC is offering a product as of yesterday that I'm sure you didn't hear about, but I'm going to tell you about it right now. It says here, this has provided Swift with a timeline for working towards the new platform. Okay. So here it talks about all the other banks that signed, that already joined, why it matters. And this has a lot to do with the rebranded monetary structure. Okay, sure. So as you see from this current information I shared, so by this point, you see the trajectory of events that took place. And it started with a signature, or it was confirmed by a signature. Because as I said here, the Federal Reserve started working on this in 2020, from what they told us. Biden gave research and development signature in 2022. And then the SWIFT platform being ready in 12 to 24 months puts us around 2025-ish, 2026-ish for this system to be rolled out. So that's a six-year window. So from 2020 conception, 2022 signature, 2025, 2026-ish, give or take, implementation. This goes back to my thing I said earlier. So make a suggestion, create an event that leads to its development, signature, and a final event, which would be the crisis, to then make it a real reality situation. So nothing new here. But these are all things that I am trying to put together. And for those who come in late, I want to remind people, this is a part of our monetary journey here. I want to encourage everybody to get a hold of what I call the monetary literacy cheat sheet. I'm updated now with all this information I'm talking about right now. It's going to be updated right here. And I'm going to extend this out to 2030 so everybody can see where we stand. So these are all the major events that took place with the dollar. These are all major events that took place with the dollar. So you can download the link. It's in the link. It's in the description. Get a hold of it. Share it. Think about it. Chew on it. Do something with it. Just for your benefit. Okay, let's keep it moving. Yeah, who else is working on CBDCs? Oh, let's get some more news from fresh off the press news. This is 11 hours ago. It says China working on CBDC guide to make digital yuan more accessible to foreign users. So literally, say, for example, you want to go to China next week, next month. You can now download the app and you can log on and get you some e-yuan, some e-renminbi, because they're trying to expand this more beyond their borders, and they're making it available for tourists. It says that China works its way toward a full-scale launch of the digital yuan, because mind you, it's not rolled out to all 1 billion people. It's only like, you know, certain pockets, some of the major metropolitan areas in China, according to information. It says government officials are exploring various options to trigger higher adoption metrics, the latest of which is a how-to guide for tourists. The People's Bank of China and Digital Currency Research Institute have published a guide for tourists seeking to use its central bank digital currency. So anybody going to China, you want to plug in, you can get the guide and get up to speed. So yeah. Anyway, what else you got going on here? What else happened in the central bank world? Here's something weird. Switch to gold standard could stabilize prices, Philadelphia Fed research. So this is a white paper. It's 48 pages long. I thumbed through it, got some of the basics out of it. So it did a good job of getting the history of gold. And they basically said that, you know, when gold was around, things were more stable. They ran the risk of inflation, deflation based upon the moving of gold back and forth. And so just the fact you had two Federal Reserve workers that suggested. So here we got Jesus Fernandez and Daniel Sanchez explores how the gold standard could or would operate as a monetary framework in a hypothetical small open economy. And so real short, I gave you the gist of it just a moment ago, but here we got the Federal Reserve thinking about. Already thinking about? I don't think so. Gold. But could this exploration of gold being reintroduced into the monetary system have anything to do with what China, Russia, and the BRICS might be working towards? Could this be a potential counter? Because all the price pressure that we're witnessing on gold is coming from the East, with them doing the physical thing. And over here in the West, we do the paper game. So could the Fed be literally looking to counter and literally in this open, small economy, somehow, some way, remonetize gold and put it back in its rightful place and give it a predetermined USD amount that could help them keep the manipulation going a little bit longer by somehow, some way, repricing gold to make it something nowhere near what it would be to account for all the USD digital and paper in existence, which is unknown. but keeping it somewhere where it can allow them to keep this can moving, hindering and suppressing the Eastern Hemisphere's plans to dethrone the dollar. I don't know. It's premature. We'll see. But central bankers talking about a gold standard should catch your attention. Okay, what else we got here? Who else is talking about gold? HSBC to launch tokenized gold. And so HSBC, so yesterday there was the Milken Institute Global Investors Symposium. I actually watched the entire 40-minute, sector. I watched it for you, so you didn't have to. But HSBC, which is the criminal of money laundering, drug trafficking, you name it, that bank been caught with everything. They have introduced yesterday, using distributed ledger technology and this whole tokenized craze, their first product is tokenized gold that they're offering to their retail customers right now. Can you trust them? I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't believe it, but it's another product. But the whole point is they're using a technology. So the bank has always been operational. They're now giving people a way to hold gold, and they're still the middleman, that tokenized aspect. You're using their ledger, and the counterparty risk and all that falls upon them, HSBC. So every bank right now is jumping on a tokenized craze. And HSBC, as I pointed out, was it last week? I put out an article saying that HSBC or central banks in Hong Kong are, here we go, real quick. Just a reminder for those who may not have been around. Hong Kong launches wholesale CBDC project to support tokenization, tokenized deposits. So this tokenized crave is literally the banking sector updating their software from analog to more digital. They have some network, whether it be Ripple, whether it be some decentralized something custom built off of what is out there in the public space, make it their own. They're going to take assets from the real world, gold, silver, blah, 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 platinum, everything that comes from the periodic table. They're going to create a product out of it, put a representation IOU token on their ledger, which are claims to that physical stuff, sell it as a product to depositors, charge you a fee in between for you using their ledger. So literally, they're taking advantage of the same system they did in the analog world. Take real world assets, create a product, find a way to make money off of it by selling it to the consumers, which they'll get a fee off of the tokenized aspect of using their chain. Voila, nothing new, just reinventing the wheel and benefiting off of it in this digital space. And here's what's interesting, because HSBC is one of the key players in this whole Hong Kong experimentation, because HSBC is a bank in Hong Kong. It's like the biggest bank in Hong Kong, yada, yada. But tokenized deposits, taking your deposits that are already theirs, technically speaking, that's on their ledger, updating it, creating tokens with that deposit. So there's a one-for-one exchange. So whatever is on their ledger, which you think is yours, they now have a token to mimic the same thing. So if they go one-for-one with that token, they can transfer to other banks. They can create products off of it. They can merge it. They can leverage. They can lend it. And your deposits are still there. And so they're creating a product to use because your funds are in their coffers and it belongs to them. So updating the system, creating a product off of it, and being able to spread it to different places, making money off of it. Genius. This genius. Anyway, so this is just what I'm talking about here. So this goes to the whole tokenized gold aspect. You know what I'm saying? This is what's happening. I'm sorry. This goes to the whole tokenized gold aspect. Okay. So where is all this heading? I'm just showing you the digital revolution that's underway right now that not many other people are talking about it. You know, I'm sure there are some people out there, some of your favorite people, but mind you, this whole channel is specialized on the dollar concept and everything being done around the dollar. And the way I'm putting this together, to me, just lets me know that it's quite obvious to see how nothing about this digital revolution that started with Satoshi Nakamoto was genuine. It was all a cover-up to give them time to build this out. And so here's a question. If this is true, if I'm even slightly close to the truth, you got to ask yourself, once everything is ready, once the CBDC, the digital dollar project I just showed you, all five of them, they're going to pick one or maybe put two together. Once they're all said and done and the crises happen that then forces them to implement a CBDC in the real world where everybody who has a bank account is forced to log in and plug into their systems, however it plays out, you got to ask yourself, what are you going to do with all this stuff that got people excited? Bitcoin, ETFs, whatever. Based upon what's happening with the exchanges, so yesterday, the SEC filed charges against KuCoin. So look at this. Over the last several months, prior to the Bitcoin ETF being launched officially by BlackRock, BlackRock is the head honcho, you had FTX be exposed by CZ, which is the Binance CEO. He got out of line by doing that. They came after CZ. So Binance now is in the coffers of the U.S. So FTX is now a puppet of, FTX is reopened as a puppet of the government. Binance is now a puppet of the government. Coinbase has already been a puppet of the government. Gemini is a puppet of the government. So all the core exchanges in the U.S. are puppets of the government. And then all the ones that are not in alignment with the government, KuCoin was yesterday. They're cracking down on all the true outlets that don't have KYC AML so that they can basically narrow the pathways in and out to accredited institutions that are in lock and step with the government. And then eventually they're going to crack down further by cutting off all exchanges that are not associated with BlackRock, the banks, and ETF products. So basically cutting off exits for people to be able to get in and get out of the digital asset space. That's the start. Then we're going to have the ESG push, which is coming again. They're going to come out with the ESG. It ain't went nowhere. It's dialed down because states are pulling funds from it. It's still there. Remember, they're going net zero, which means you and I are breathing carbon. We're a liability to them. So by 2030, all this will be complete, potentially. What does that mean? That means that the proof of work, proof of stake war, which is not started officially, more regulatory clarity will come out. Proof of work will be looked at as an enemy because of all the carbon, the energy usage, whatever. Every single miner on a planet that mines Bitcoin is publicly visible on a map. Every single person that runs a node from their internet source is publicly visible. So that right there is a primary risk for this decentralized Bitcoin space because they can see who is supporting the nodes and the mining aspect. You better believe all it takes is another signature to consider that asset class a threat to their system, and voila, they target every single node, every single miner. And then what does that do? It doesn't eliminate the project. It just kills the hash rate, meaning that the security of the network is compromised. That makes it easier for a bad actor. Who are the bad actors? Three-letter agencies and the like to basically come in, hijack the blockchain. Bitcoin problem is solved. Now, what do people have? They have CBDCs. They live happily ever after, control the monetary system the way they always have for the last 100 years. Here's what I tell people. Do you think the powers that be, I mean, just to show you the powers that be, the powers that be, if we go back to the formation of this country, all the way from the first Coinage Act, all the way to all the National Currency Act, all the acts that took place to get us to this point to where we literally have a centrally controlled monetary system. Do you think they're going to give up 200, 300 plus years of monetary manipulation to give people freedom in something called Bitcoin? I just, you know, logic, thinking critically, I would automatically assume the worst before the best in this regard, because there's too much at stake for them to lose control of it all of a sudden. And then the fact that this Satoshi Nakamoto guy is coming to save humanity. Satoshi is the government, buddy. Anyway, that's just my two cents there. Having fun with it. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm 100% wrong, but as I always say, based upon history and how we got to this point right over here, I don't know. Monetary manipulation seems to be quite real. All right, last couple articles here. And I'm going to stop boring you people. I don't want to bore you anymore. Where are we at? Let's look at the Main Street activity. BlackRock's Larry Fink sees Social Security crisis, says 65 retirement age, a bit crazy. Oh. Funds aren't there. Let's kick the age limit up. It says in his annual letter to shareholders, Fink called the decreasing ability to retire in a financially sound way one of the biggest economic challenges of the 21st century. So basically saying that they've already made it clear that the current fiscal pathway is unsustainable. So Larry Fink jumps on board by saying that the decreasing ability to retire in a financially sound way is one of the biggest economic challenges this century. Today in America, the retirement message that the government and companies tell their workers is effectively, you're on your own. That was a whole part of the ERISA Act You know what I'm saying? Once again, I hate to keep reminding you this, but if I go back, look over my shoulder here. Let me see here. Where I got here? I got, let me see here. Let me see. Where is it at? Nope. It's right down here beneath me. So right behind my head, right here, I put the ERISA Act of 1974. That was a turning point in the whole Ponzi scheme of being able to retire. They shifted the responsibility from corporations, pensions, onto self-contributed retirement funds. That was a part of the Ponzi. It was obvious back then, man. Come on now. Anyway, it says a federal law that will require employers with a 401k plan to auto-enroll new workers provides a bright spot. Come on now. 401k was an accident. It came about in 1975, 1976, and it was intended for one company to use. One person created one person's idea to turn into one company using it. They realized how profitable it was to take responsibility off of them and to shift it onto the worker. Then every company jumped on board. Then the government made it a standard. Come on now. Companies got tired of paying for pensions. Anyway, yeah. What else I got here? Real quick, thumb through some headlines. Japan amps up intervention threat as the yen hits the lowest level since 1990. Oops. Japan amps up an intervention threat as the yen hits the lowest since 1990. The yen, tanking. Fiat currencies, tanking. What else we got here? The Baltimore Bridge collapses, shutters port indefinitely, impacts supply chain. If that wasn't done intentionally, I don't know what was. But the ramifications, I think I saw something about $28 billion is impacted by that, goes across that bridge in its entirety, which agriculture, aerospace, every industry goes across that bridge, trucking. You cut that down, you cut off, you handicap the Eastern Hemisphere and everything heading in towards the Midwest and beyond. Strategically done. Okay. Milei in Argentina to cut 70,000 state jobs, boasting of a chainsaw austerity. So once again, 70,000 government jobs is painful, but it had to happen. It needs to happen here. It'd be painful, but it'll help cut down costs and help shrink government, which is be mighty helpful. Don't bank on it. They're not going to kill their own jobs. And then here's another one. Let me zoom in here so you can see what I see here. Look at this one. Cocoa fluctuates as investors take profit after a rally up to $10,000. So as you can see above my head, let me move this out the way here quick. Here's what happened on the commodity chart when things get out of hand. Cocoa snaps rally after hitting 10,000 records. So imagine from early March 14th, it was $7,000. It shot up, peaked at $10,000. People who own that asset there in its variety of forms, whether it be indexes, you know, funds or whatever, start taking profits. And this is a real world item. So mind you, anything listed as a commodity that the world needs is already scarce in nature. And when it's turned into a product that's tradable on these public platforms here, things can get out of hand very easily through manipulation. And when something breaks, it shoots off. Gold and silver hasn't broke yet, but when it breaks, it's going to take off. And of course, people take profits, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, just cocoa is an example of what happens when things get out of hand and it shoots off to the upside and it's a real world item. And then here's another one. Yellen warns China's industry ramp up is distorting the world economy. So here we got Grandma Yellen telling China that them trying to be productive is distorting the world economy. And they're literally probably responding to the fact that the U.S. has weaponized our currency, causing major chaos within their country and the rest of the world. And they're just trying to counter that in some capacity. And they're distorting the world economy. When the shoe's on the other foot, boy, they definitely would like to argue about it. China's wrapping up its manufacturing sector. So by China being productive, creating stuff, it don't really mean that they're selling it. They're creating stuff. That's a problem for the U.S. So, and of course, this is just a way to get over there, because she's going over there to visit and say, hey, you know, gold price is getting out of hand. You know, so you're doing too much physical stuff over here. We got to figure out what to do over here because it's putting pressure on us. People don't want our dollars. People don't want our debt. I need your help. Give us another year of manipulation before we can, you know, officially get this rolled out. You know how they're doing behind the scenes. They're negotiating. And then lastly here, inflation is so bad that even the Fed is losing purchasing power. So here we have the Federal Reserve posts record loss of $114 billion in 2023. So basically, because interest rates are higher, all the liabilities that they took on their balance sheet literally are at par, at market value. They're losing on each one of those debt instruments to the tune of $114 billion. And this is 2023, so it's good to say it's a lot higher now. But when central banks take losses, it's no big deal because it's all ones and zeros on a computer screen created by whoever runs the primary server there. And it's only a problem when it happens to hit Main Street, you and I. As these deficits continue, as the monetary base is expanded, the purchasing power for our currency continues to lose value. Therefore, it's reflected on the sticker price of goods and services on the shelves when we go to the stores. And so we're the ones that suffer at their manipulation. So their losses is irrelevant because they can take unlimited losses because there's nothing really there. But for us, our energy and time is reflected in what we earn, of which we spend to sustain ourselves. So yeah, never a dull moment, man. This is what's happening in the real world. But I thought I would check in, share with you things worth keeping an eye on. Once again, all dollars are not created equal. Just remember that. There's a difference between this boy and this boy. Big difference. This boy will go up. This boy will fade away into oblivion. So anyway, good people, thought I would check in this morning. Hopefully this was an informative, engaging, enlightening rant. I got all the charts to back it up. We're in the midst of the great rebranding of our currency. It's already said and done. They just need a systemic event. And based upon all the things happening in our country right now, it's good to say that that's why everything is unfolding the way that it's unfolding. And lastly here, let me just share with you something that is worth paying attention to. Real quick. This is extra credit. Here we got on the screen here something that I found from, you know, Brother David. I don't know who he is. Just it lists some of the key things that have impacted our country to date. So he said, bridge collapses, planes falling apart, insanely huge suspicious fires, series of train derailments, chemical substance explosions, food production facilities being burnt down, planes crashing into them, thousands of mysteriously dead cattle, New York underground network of tunnels, southern border insanity. These are just a few things that have happened across America just in the last year. Then he says here, what next? So if all these things that he listed here aren't just things that make you wonder what they're working towards, I would imagine that, you know, going back, you know, once again to the monetary cheat sheet, every crisis that took place to lead us to the current position where we're at now, where no cash is being accepted, wireless payments, CBDC talk, the BRICS formation, everything has been done intentional. Everything is intentional. There are no such thing as coincidences in the midst of a reset. And we happen to be in one right now as we speak. So expect more chaos, more dysfunction, more destruction. That's all they know how to do. And unfortunately, the masses, 99.99% of people who are not tuned in right now, are unfortunately have no clue. And so that's why I want to encourage you. If you found, you know, anything worthwhile here, take this video, share it so people can find an alternative perspective. That's what this is all about, waking up the masses while there's still time, allowing people to make preparations according to whatever you feel is best for you, but most importantly, being led by the Holy Spirit, because he knows where, how, what, when, everything that's meant for you will come to pass if you're in good hands, aka inside of Christ. So, all right, my good people, be blessed, be safe. That's all she wrote. Shalom.